One of the things that I have grown to appreciate from Brother R.J. Stevens' psalm book that we use is the accompanying verses that are there with each of the songs. And I was looking at the verse that was there with that song, Psalm 133 and verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And that is a wonderful blessing. And one thing that we need to keep in mind that we always strive for in what we're trying to do here in this local congregation. We began talking this morning about becoming more spiritually minded, understanding that we are just travelers here in this world that we're living in, that we are looking forward to something even greater. I appreciate the theme of the songs this evening, how they're trying to keep our minds focused on our heavenly goal and looking to the things that are above. We began by looking at the need to there in Romans chapter 8, verse 6, where we see that we need to set our mind, the mind that is set on the flesh is death, and the mind that is set on the spirit is life and peace. Paul in Colossians 3 and verse 2 tells us that we need... Nothing ever works when you want it to. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, we read that we are told to set our mind on the things above and not on the things that are on the earth. And so in looking at these things, we want to keep our mind focused on that which is above, that which is there with God. And so we began by looking at the need to have a constant awareness of God's presence. Noting there in the psalmist there that we are to, as the deer pants for the water, we look there for God. We thirst for God, looking and longing for God. And we need to keep these things in mind, that God controls the affairs of our life. That's the things that we need to keep in mind, that He's there, He's watching, and He's controlling the things that are going on. And we need to remember, as we're told there in James chapter 4 and verse 15, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. And so as we continued looking at these things, we saw that we had a need to continue to feed on the Word of God. We needed to have a steady diet of the Word of God. In Psalm 119, there in verse 97, the psalmist said, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." We need to be a people that is focused solely on the Word of God. That is, if we're going to have tunnel vision, that's where our vision is focused. That's what our thoughts are on. When someone comes up and starts talking to us, that's one of the first things that comes into our mind. This idea of continuing to focus on the law of God. We saw that the one who trembles at God's Word is the one that is accepted of God. We saw in Isaiah 66 and verse 2 the need to be there to tremble at the Word of God. And as we continue looking at these things, we need to begin looking, as we're going to begin tonight, that not only do we continue feeding on God's Word and being constantly aware of God's presence, that He is here, He's watching, He's caring for us, but we also need to speak spiritual words. A Christian's vocabulary should be one that is filled with words that flows forth from the Word of God. If you would turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 12. In Matthew chapter 12, there in verse 33, Jesus tells us that our words show that which is within our hearts. And in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 33, we read, "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." And so Jesus gives a very strong thing there to us that we need to watch what we speak. And so when we're speaking, let's make sure that we're using spiritual words, that we're uttering words that minister grace to those that would be able to hear what we're speaking. That's the idea of a child of God, is that we give a word that helps, a word that encourages, a word that perhaps exhorts or rebukes, but there is there to remind them of the grace of God. Our Our speech as Christians should be the salt of the world. That's why Jesus said, you're like the salt that is there to season the world. When you look at the world, it's horrible. When you look at the speech that the world uses, it's hateful. It's filled with hateful speech, hateful words. But as Christians, people should long to be around us. And they should go, you know, I just love being around so-and-so. He just always has such wonderful things to say. He always has words of encouragement in helping me to think more about God. In Ephesians chapter 4, there in verse 29, in Ephesians 4 and verse 29, Paul tells us, he says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. You know, I've talked about this before, and if I really speak on something that I'm stumbling on, this is probably one of the top five. We need to be careful in what we say. We need to make sure that when we're speaking, we're not speaking words that are tearing people down. America is full of sarcastic people. My family is full of sarcastic people. But that's not the kind of speech that a Christian should be using. You know, the speech of a Christian, let no unwholesome word proceed, but that which is good for edification. Think about what you're going to say. Is this going to help them be a better Christian? Or is this just going for the laugh? And as Christians, we need to think about these things. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to joke and to have fun, but we need to make sure that the words that we're speaking are that which give grace to those who hear. That seasons the things that are going on. In Colossians chapter 4, there in verse 6, the Apostle Paul, in one of his other epistles, he said, let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. Let your speech be seasoned with grace. Where do we learn about grace? God's Word. And so once again, feeding upon the Word of God is going to change our speech. I'm going to tell you, you read the book of Psalms every day, and you're going to find certain phrases are going to start finding their way into your speech. Certain ideas there are going to start creeping in, and you're going to start saying them, not as just trying to copy, but it becomes a part of you. And that's what he's talking about here. Our speech comes from the Word of God. We come from an understanding and knowing the Word of God. The author of Proverbs, there in Proverbs chapter 25, and verse 11, said, like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances. It's there to help. But too many times our speech is more like barbed wire. It's there to rip, to tear apart. That's why so many churches are just ripping apart at the seams, because people aren't thinking, how is this speech going to help someone? Is this going to help them, or is this going to hurt them? Is this going to promote unity, or is this going to promote division? And we need to be thinking about these things as Christians. I'm not saying that we always have to be saying nice things, because sometimes we have to speak the Word of God and we have to stand up firm and be true. But we always utter those things thinking, how would I want someone to approach me in this particular situation? How can I give this and perhaps they receive it the best? And so let's think about our speech and consider the words of Boaz to his laborers. You know, these are just some ideas of ways that we might can change our speech. There in Ruth chapter 2, in Ruth chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, may the Lord be with you. And they said to him, may the Lord bless you. Wouldn't that be a wonderful way to greet one another? Just instead of, hey, how you doing? Or as I tend to go, what's up? May the Lord be with you. And what a wonderful response. Well, may the Lord bless you. You know, we need to keep God in our speech, not using it the way that the world does in derogatory terms, but we need God in our speech. We need to be speaking of God more. They need to be able to see, because remember, Jesus said, out of the heart comes the speech. If God's not coming forth in our speech, we don't have Him in our heart. It's that cut and dried, folks. And so if we really love the Lord like we say that we do, if we really want to serve Him like we claim we do, then these types of things should be coming out of us more. We should be thinking more about how our speech revolves around God. When you look over in Proverbs 31 and read of the worthy woman there in Proverbs 31, in verse 26 it says, she opens her mouth in wisdom and teaching of kindness is on our tongue. Wouldn't it be great if that's what's said about us? But what's said about us oftentimes? Well, if you need somebody to give a good jab into a conversation, if you want somebody who can really cut someone to the bone, talk to so-and-so. He can do it. That's not the way we should be described as Christians. People should go, well, if you want to really get some words of wisdom, you need to go and talk to this Christian over here. That's the way people should be about us. And so we need to understand our speech is something that is helping us to keep our spiritual mindedness. Because we're focusing on the Word of God, because we're aware that God is around us, He's in our lives, He's guiding us, we need to be speaking spiritual words. But you see, it's through weakness that we fail to do this. We live in a time of that horrible term, political correctness. Now, there are some things that we should be leaving behind. Some words that should be left behind in the past and should not be used anymore. But when they start removing our ability to speak of God, that's too far. When they start saying, no, you can't refer to God in the school systems, it's time for me to say, no, I will speak of God in the school system. You can't take away my right to speak of God. You can take away my life, but you cannot take away my right to speak of God. But as Christians, we're afraid we're going to offend someone, or we've trained ourselves not to have a spiritual vocabulary around our worldly associates because they might think, well, because he's always talking about God, he's some fanatic. You know what? Yeah, I am. You know, I should be a religious fanatic. I should be one who is fanatic in his belief in God and his desire to serve him. And it should come forth in my speech. And so maybe we need to sit down and think about our speech a little bit more. And really kind of focus on the words that we're using, the way that we speak, and then ask ourselves honestly, is that the speech of a Christian? Or is that some of those unwholesome words that we're told not to let them proceed from our mouth? We need to avoid the weakness that is hindering so many today in the world and have the courage to speak spiritual words. The apostles prayed for boldness that they could continue to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in the face of persecution. And we need to pray for boldness. In the psalmist, there in Psalm 37, in verse 30, it says, the mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of his God is in his heart. Look there, that's the idea there. Because it's in his heart, it proceeds from his tongue. Remember, Jesus said there in Matthew chapter 12, for the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. Because God is in his heart, the law of God is in his heart, he speaks justice. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom. That's what we need to keep in mind. And so when you're looking at your speech, and you might find that it's a little lacking in spiritualness, that your spirituality is not proceeding forth in your speech, perhaps you need to start refocusing on what you're feeding on. We talked this morning about the need to feed on the Word of God. Maybe we're feeding on too much junk food, television, the books of this world, the songs of this world, and not enough on the Word of God. And that's why those things are coming through in our minds and in our thoughts rather than the Word of God. In the 71st Psalm, there in Psalm 71, there beginning in verse 17, he says, O God, you have taught me from my youth, and I still declare your wondrous deeds. And even when I am old and gray, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to all who are to come. You've taught me, and I declare your wondrous deeds. What does it mean to declare? I speak. His speech declared the wonders of God. And he said, even when I'm old and gray, let me live so that I can declare your wonders to the next generation. You see, that was the problem with the Jews. They kept forgetting to tell the next generation. And our children, what do they hear from us? What do we talk about around the dinner table? What do we talk about when we're riding in the car? What do we talk about when we're outside playing? And going back to Deuteronomy chapter 4 and Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Israelites were commanded, you talk to your children of God when you're walking, when you're sitting, when you're out along the wayside, when you're sitting in your home, when you're preparing to lie down. Talk of God and all the things that He had done. The Israelites were continually turning away from God because they failed in that. And the Lord's church, as we've said so many times, is one generation away from apostasy because we're failing as well. Because we're not speaking to our kids. We're not focusing on the Word of God. We need to speak spiritual words. But you know, we also need to keep our minds focused on our heavenly goal. The spiritually minded not only think on spiritual matters now, but they think about the heavenly reward. They don't just focus on the Word of God and make sure that it follows through in their speech, but they dream. They dwell on that wonderful home in heaven. You know, there's all these psychobabble things out there that if you think about things enough, you'll get it. When you're focused on getting something, when that's your desire and that's all you think about, then yeah, you will receive it. Perhaps that's the problem with so many Christians today. They are not focusing. They're not really thinking about the goal. This is the end. That's the prize. That's the race that we're running. All this other stuff is just stuff that weighs us down that we read about there in Hebrews chapter 12. That we need to lay aside the sin that so easily besets us, that entangles us. And focus on the goal, on the end. And so we need to keep our mind focused on the heavenly goal. The people of this world want to hang on to this world, and they're brought down just like Peter in those waves. He was brought down by looking at the world around him and not focusing on Jesus. And the same is true with us. We need to keep our minds focused on our heavenly goal. Christians are to be those that understand that they're strangers. They're pilgrims. We're just here, living for a little while. In Hebrews chapter 11, there in verse 13, the author of Hebrews, in writing about all these great men and women of faith, he says, all these, Adam, Eve, Abraham, Sarah, all these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. One of the big things in the political realm today is, what are we going to do with these illegal aliens? What are we going to do? I don't have any answers on that. It doesn't really matter. What matters is for me to understand I'm an illegal alien here upon this earth. I am an alien here. I do not belong here. This is just where I'm living until I can get to where I belong, to the kingdom that I'm a part of. That's where my allegiance lies. The word exiles that we read there, it's also translated pilgrims in other translations, is from the Greek word peripidemos. I practice that a lot and it just doesn't roll off the tongue. And it's from three different words that are joined together. Para, which means alongside of. Epi, which means upon. Demos, which means a people of a foreign country or city. Thayer defines it as one who comes from a foreign country into a city or land to reside there by the side of the natives. In the New Testament, metaphorically, it is used in reference to heaven as the native country, one who sojourns on the earth. In other words, what we're reading there with the idea of a pilgrim or a sojourner or an exile is, I'm not where I belong. I'm living here. I'm living amongst people that are not my people. I'm not of this world because I'm waiting to get to my kingdom. I'm waiting to get to the world that I belong, that spiritual kingdom. That's what I'm waiting on. Christians know that the bodies in which they now live are only temporary. And someday they must move out. And so we've got to continue to keep the faith, keeping in mind that the great architect of the universe will someday build for us a better house in which to live. The Apostle Paul spoke of this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. There in verse 1, for we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That's what we need to focus on, folks. That's what we need to keep in mind. We're so worried about the credit crunch, aren't we? And I'm not saying it's wrong to worry about your finances and everything, but you know what? It doesn't matter. If you're a Christian, Jesus promises you're going to have what you need, right? He said, don't worry about where you're going to sleep, what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat. The Gentiles worry about those things. But remember, the birds of the air, God cares for them. Even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed in a manner such as the birds and the grass and the flowers. But he said, you seek first His kingdom, your heavenly kingdom, where you belong, because you're just an alien here. You're just in exile. You're just a pilgrim. You're just passing through. You want to take my house? Take it. I've got one not built with hands that you cannot take, that you cannot destroy. You see, that's how we keep ourselves spiritually minded. We keep ourselves focused on the things that are above, not upon the things that are on earth. I'm not saying that we just lose all focus on this world. We have certain responsibilities that we have to think about and we have to care for, but we need to quit caring for it quite so much. We need to quit worrying about building up so much treasure here upon this earth and worry about building up the treasure in heaven. Because remember, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And if we're always worried about things of this world and building up worldly things, then that's where our heart is. And remember, those that have their mind set on things of this world, it's death. It's death. I don't know if Brother Harold was just reading my mind or if he looked through my sermon or if I included it on the outline, but number 213 was there in the making of this sermon. Look over there, number 213. It says it so well in how we are to be, in the attitude that we are to have, and we sing it, and we're supposed to mean what we sing, aren't we? If not, we're going to be judged for it. Amen. We're to sing with the Spirit and sing with the understanding. What does it say there? Here we are, but straying pilgrims. Here our path is often dim. But to cheer us on our journey, still we sing this wayside hymn. Yonder, over the rolling river, where the shining mansions rise, soon will be our home forever. And the smile of the blessed giver gladdens all our longing eyes. In other words, we're walking through this world, we're living here, but you know, it's just a little while. We're just biding our time. Because we're waiting to get on the other side of that river. We're waiting to cross over and to see the face of our Lord. That which no eye has ever beheld. When we get to heaven, we get to see Him. We get to communicate with Him. We get to have true fellowship with God. Isn't that worth keeping your mind on things that are above? Things that are above? And so we as Christians, we need to learn to be more spiritually minded. At times in our lives, the spiritual things seem strangely absent. We think, well, it's just not happening fast enough. I really want to grow more spiritually, and it's just not going fast enough. And I've got so many other things in this world that I'm worried about. And we simply become preoccupied with other things. It's always interested me in reading the writings of Louis L'Amour and reading about tracking and the ability that the Indians had to essentially, as they would say, track a rattlesnake across the rock in the desert. Now you think about that for just a moment. A rattlesnake didn't leave much tracks behind, especially not on a rock. But they said, you know, there were Indians that would essentially have that ability. Why? Because they've been trained to see things that we don't see. They were trained to see the twig that's broken, that shouldn't have been broken. The rock that is wet on top because it's been flipped over. Things that we just walk through and, oh, it looks pretty out here. They're trained to see those things. Same thing in the modern world with the CSI, the pathologists that go in there and they look deep. And they see, we just look and go, ooh, that's gross. That body, that's icky. And they look and they see and they can tell exactly what killed someone, how they were killed, what time they were killed. Why? Because they're trained to see these things. And so we need to develop our sensitivity towards spiritual things so that we can be more spiritually minded. Because as we need to remember, the mind that is set upon the flesh, it's hostile. It's an enemy of God. And so once again, the invitation is offered to you this evening. And there's nothing more important for you to think about right now than your soul's destination. If you're not prepared to meet your God right now, if you find that your mind, maybe you've thought about it this afternoon and you've thought about it and you realize, well, maybe my mind's not focused enough on spiritual things, turn back to God. You find, well, I'm just allowing too many other things that are hindering me. I'm not as focused at the worship services because I'm so busy with so many other things. Get rid of them. Are they going to help you in your eternal destination? No. But coming together and singing songs of praise, hearing lessons from the Word of God, that gets you to heaven. Set your mind on things that are above, not on the things of this earth. Because the things of this earth, they're temporary. They will be destroyed. They will be no more. But that which is eternal. Yes, you may lose all of your finances. You may have to pay everything that you earn to buy gas, to go to work. But you know what? That's not your treasure. Your treasure's in heaven, and no man can take that away. Moth does not corrupt. Rust does not affect it. Thieves cannot steal it. It's there. It's eternal. Make your life right with God this night, whether it's by obeying His gospel, by repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus Christ as the Son of God and being buried in baptism, or coming forward and making your life right with God once again, setting and repenting of your sins and once again letting God be first and foremost in your life. Whatever you need to do, tonight is the night as we stand and as we sing.